You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, welcome along. You're listening to the William Hill Weekly Golf Podcast. Good to have you with us. It's Dave Kellner here in the studio, joined by Mr. Mike Grenham and Mr. Dave Tindall to look ahead to the Volvo China Open and the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. First of all, welcome back to Mr. Grenham. We missed you last week, Mike.
Thank you for that, Dave. Yeah, are we calling each other Mr. the whole way through?
We're doing it all the way through. You're Mr. Mike Grenham, I'm Mr.
Hello,
Dave.
Hello, Mr. Calvin, Dave,
and that's Mr. Dave. Dave Tindall. Mr. Dave, Mr.
Dave. The actual Mr. Men character, yeah. Mr. Grumpy.
There's a sketch in there somewhere, isn't there? Definitely. Obviously, you would have picked Jim Furyk last week.
I did a double him in that Happy Barnard. Did you not get that email?
I didn't see that. Did you tweet that? That must have been a direct message, was it, that one?
A direct message, Mike, that one. Yeah. Just a little double there. No, I wouldn't have picked either of them, but it was good.
Yeah, what two cracking finishes to those events, with Appy Barnard making eagle on 17 to force the playoff with the young Chinese man, Li Hao Tong. Li Hao Tong, there you go. And not a good result for the locals, really, because they were cheering on Li Hao Tong, weren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I must admit, I didn't know an awful lot about him, but you checked his form and he's been playing really well on the web.com tour, back-to-back top 16s. So he's looks like a proper... Chinese possible superstar, because I was thinking there's got to be one, hasn't there, just through the sheer weight of numbers.
Oh, yeah.
20% of the world's population live in China. Now, if you start exposing more and more to golf, there's got to be one of the young guys who comes through. Because one of the older fellows, I can't remember who it was doing well. Nick Huang was doing well. I think he was the first round leader, but he was 34, and you kind of think, well... you know, what's his upper limit? But this young kid, 19, you know, getting tournament sharp in America, you don't know what he might become. So one to keep an eye on, isn't he?
Definitely. I think the biggest story in the world of golf was Jim Furyk, though, getting back in the winner's enclosure, Mike.
Yeah, they were both actually, one of the refreshing things about both tournaments was the reaction of them both when they won, Furyk and Alfie Barnard. They both went mental when they won, didn't they? Which was good to see, I thought. Furyk, maybe more surprisingly, but he was really pleased. Well, they both were, weren't they? They were both ecstatic, so that's good to see, and a bit of passion. Great to see Furyk get back on the winner's podium, because he's a great player, and was somewhat wrongly getting labelled as a non-winner. And he's just a good player, and has sometimes been beaten by a player who's done better on the day.
Yeah. Let's get stuck into this week then. Two tournaments for us to look at, and we'll start off with the China Open. Pablo Larrazabal is the 16-1 favourite here with William Hill. Emiliano Grillo is 20-1. Kiradek Apibarnat. Grillo is 20s as well.
That's what you've got to call him. He's not Grillo, apparently. He's Grillo.
Is that correct?
That's what it said on the golf the other week. I was a bit surprised.
Right? I'm very surprised.
I've always called him Grillo. Did you hear that, Dave?
I didn't.
They were saying that Grillo is how it should be.
Okay.
Which we'll go with surprised
that,
me.
Yeah, we'll go with that in the future.
Maybe I dreamt it.
Tommy Fleetwood is 20s as well. Alex Noren is 25s, along with Alexander Levy. Wade Ormsby, 25-1.
Levy.
Alexander Levy. This could be a new feature, can't it?
Yeah.
28-1. Gregory...
Bourdie.
He's 28-1. Richie Ramsey, 28. Romain Vatel is 28-1. And it's 33s and bigger the rest.
Get to Julian Kahn, Kwesny.
Kane.
We've got a change of venue for this year's championship, chaps. Alex Levy ripped apart the Genzon Golf Club last year. The host course for this year's championship is Tomson Shanghai Pudong Golf Club.
Bit of a mouthful, isn't it?
It is, which is a par 72, and measuring 7,343 yards. Opened in 1997. Most of the holes are tree-lined. There is a little bit of course form to go on, Dave. It hosted the Asian Open from 2004 to 2008.
Yeah, it's just... a little bit annoying, isn't it, that it wasn't maybe a few years earlier, because most of them won't have seen this. There's a few, aren't there? Bordy's had a knock there. There's a few of the market leaders, or up around in top 10 in the betting. Anthony Wall's had a knock there. There's a few who've seen it. the quotes I read, I kind of went back to that tournament 2008, and most of them were saying you need to hit the fairway. They were quite, you know, that would seem to be a definite theme.
Yeah.
Whereas last week, Goudong, I think the course was last week. Last week it seemed a bit of a, you know, grip it and rip it, just blast away course, which makes sense because that was where Levy won this tournament last year. So I think it's a different type of player we're looking for this week. Whereas last week you got like Kyrgios shooting a 63 near the end, and you know, some of the guys maybe who hit it long were more favoured last week, where maybe it's a more steadier Eddie this
steadier Eddie
yeah this week. That's my theory anyway.
Looking through those winners at the course when it hosted this championship, or when it hosted the Asian Open back in 2004 to 2008, maybe the course can bite a little bit, and all experienced players really won. Even back then, you look at the list of winners: Darren Clarke in 2008, Rafael Jacquelin, Gonzalo Fernandez Castaño, Ernie Els, Miguel Angel Jimenez. Even at those stages of their respective careers, they've been on tour quite a while.
Yeah, but yeah. They can all most of those can hit it quite a way, to be fair. So I think it's tricky this week. Is it? You could argue that Chinese courses tend to favour people who hit it a long way, typically.
Yep.
But there's a bit of mixed evidence this week, isn't there? I'm not really that sure what the identikit winner would be. Are you?
No, I'm not entirely sure.
I was thinking those are sort of controllable, like Clark. Mm. Yeah, Ernie Els won it by 13, didn't he?
Ridiculous. Yeah.
Mm. Fernandez Castaño is a good ball striker. I think you can't just go away blazing all, you know, indiscriminately. I think you need a bit of control and guile.
Two picks for me.
Yep.
And none for me.
Okay. And Mr. Tindall?
Yeah, two for me.
Okay. You kick us off then, Dave.
Yeah, it's not a very exciting price, but Tommy Fleetwood, I think, is starting to show in the last few weeks that he is the absolute real deal. A lot of people are thinking, you know, he's won before and maybe just stalled a little bit. I think he got bogged down trying to get in the Masters. The last couple of weeks, he's come 17th and 3rd. Only just missed a playoff last week. And his form in China is tremendous. Last five results in China, 3rd, 24th, 39th, 2nd, 18th. So a couple of top threes in there.
Yeah.
You know, really good ball striker. I think he's just looks, you know, ready to produce another win in a fairly modest field. I know the price reflects that at 20-1, but I just expect him. You know, he's been in China last week, nearly won. He's acclimatised. I think everything points to him having a big week. And there's a couple up there. Grillo I quite liked as well. But I think Fleetwood might just have something extra this week. I think he's going to be really on it. And, yeah, he would be my headline at 20-1.
I'm going with David Howell as my headline selection here at 40-1. I'll play him a point each way. Missed the cut. He actually played here, seen the golf course before back in 2008. Missed the cut on that occasion, but he's in such good form at the moment. I thought he was, it was worth overlooking that missed cut. He played very well last week in Shenzhen to finish tied fourth. And as you mentioned with Fleetwood, he's now acclimatized to conditions. He's actually got five straight top 35 finishes on tour, so he's playing very well at the moment, Howell. That place last week, he had a place in Joburg as well. You're talking 10-1 a place here, which I think is very fair. And he's putting so crisply at the moment, which is good for Howell. So I thought he seemed a solid pick to me at 40-1, David Howell.
Yep. Me again?
You again, yeah. Dave?
I'll go to 50-1 this time. Obviously, we talked about those last winners. You've got Darren Clarke and Ernie Els in there. I know they've won at lots of places, but they are both open winners. So that kind of put a little seed into my head about Chris Wood, just someone who can control his ball. Last few weeks on tour, he's hit over 70% of his fairway, so that good, you know, driving accuracy figures that I think are needed here. He's certainly ticking those boxes. 29th last week in Shenzhen, which was okay, but he was 3rd the week before at the tournament before at the Trophy Hassan.
Yep.
Obviously, he had that long injury break for about 4 months, so he was a bit unsure coming back and wasn't that great, but I think he's found his groove now. I think 50-1 is a good bet in this field because he's got some good form in China. I think this course will suit him, and he's putting well as well. He putted really well at Shenzhen. I think he was 3rd in putting average. So he put his good driving accuracy stats together with that putting. I just think that's a sporting price. It's certainly one in my head that I was prepared to take. I think he probably wasn't near enough last week, 29th, to merit something like 33s, but I thought, oh, he might be 40s this week. So when I saw 50s, I thought...
Happy.
Yeah, Chris Wood on a course. I mean, he's obviously come top five in two opens on a course where it takes a bit of guile, I think, more than just bombing. I think he might step up to the plate this week, and 50-1 looks fair.
Okay, Chris Wood at 50-1. Hopefully your Open Championship link will ring true, because I'm going to have a small bet on Paul Laurie at 80-1 here.
Right, very good.
I mentioned experience being a key factor at the top of the commentary ahead of this tournament, and there aren't many players more experienced than Paul Laurie. He's not played since the Desert Swing, which is a slight negative, I think. He has been suffering with an illness. I'm not sure what he's had, but he's definitely had an illness, because he's been commenting about it on Twitter. But I was pretty impressed with his play on those long courses in the Desert Swing, courses that wouldn't necessarily, not all of them, suit Paul Laurie. He finished tied 20th in Abu Dhabi, tied 46th in Qatar, and tied 29th in the Dubai Desert Classic. And he was actually top 10 in greens in regulation in both Abu Dhabi and Qatar, finished 7th in that category in Abu Dhabi and 5th in Qatar. Driving the ball well and putting has been decent also. That is a slight caveat that he has been slightly ill, but you look back through his record here as well. Twice he's been here and finished 8th in 2006 and 27th in 2008. So I think he might have a good week, and I think the illness is definitely factored into that price at 80-1.
I've just pulled up his... He does one of the better blogs of all the tour players, yeah. And he said, I had to pull out of this week's event in China, which was the Shenzhen,
yep,
with a chest infection. The antibiotics he took gave him a stomach upset, and he's got a bad back. Otherwise, he's fine.
Yeah, okay, that's a negative then.
An appealing betting proposition.
That's a negative.
But he did, on the good side of it, I hit it really good when he was practicing.
Yeah.
So he seems happy enough.
Yeah.
I'll take a flyer with him at 80-1. But obviously, that's not ideal, is it? It's not ideal to have the... I'm not as worried about the flu-like symptoms, because they can pass quickly, but the back injury would be a little bit of a concern.
Yeah.
His word is, I strain my back slightly, so he's not kind of hobbling around. And I think it's just the ailments of someone in their 40s.
Yeah.
We don't know about that.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see, won't it? Yeah, your criteria to find the most injured golfer you could possibly
buy. I'll just play him half a point each way at 80-1. I won't go the full hog.
And like I said earlier, I just think it's slightly tricky to know what will work here. If it is a course that you have to plot around, it'd be interesting to see how Matteo Manassero plays.
Yes.
He's interesting, isn't he?
Yeah, he's bubbling under.
Definitely. I know you were kind of ahead of the curve on him, thinking, he's too good to...
He's starting to make cuts again and building up.
He did quite well this week for a few rounds.
I can see...
What odds is Manassero?
He's 80-1, which is fair.
80-1, yeah.
I think at some point he's going
to definitely
beat that sort of quote, isn't he? And then he'll be back to...
Yeah, he'll be back down to 25s and 20s and whatever, won't he? But he's definitely, it's just whether this... So I'll be watching him closely. If it is that kind of plotter's course, that obviously plays to his game a bit more. If the Bombers have more of a chance this week, say it's been raining quite a bit. If it rains over there, that makes it easy for the longer hitters, doesn't it, on these kind of courses? I'd be looking at Peter Ewell. I mean, quite a decent price again. He played very well last week, obviously. 33-1, looked reasonable about him. And a player that we all liked a little bit earlier in the season has gone off the boil a little bit. But consequently, his price has drifted. Thomas Peters is now out to more appealing odds, and he hits it a long way. I'll be watching him running, and I'll tweet about a bet. I just too many doubts about what the course is going to play like for me to get too involved.
It's not always very engaging, is it? Either in the events in China, with the greatest of respect, because in terms of viewing, they're unsociable hours, aren't they? And sometimes it does sway you, even though you want to get involved and have a bet. You're not going to see that much of the event, are you?
Of those ones Mike mentioned, I know Uline said last week he's just switched coaches, and it kind of, the new pattern he's trying to get into kind of caught up with him in the final round.
Yeah.
He had 16 pars and one birdie and a bogey, and he said it's a bit of a work in progress, but then again, he still came tied fourth,
didn't he? Yeah.
It wasn't too bad. But I think the one that I'm almost tempted to put up a sort of last gasp late bet, but Manassero, I think that's slightly... Mm. Maybe just didn't scroll down far.
Yeah, well, you know, on your criteria, Dave, he's interesting, isn't he? You know, yeah. If that's the sort of player you're definitely looking at, yeah. I will most certainly be looking at him in running.
Okay, let's move on. Let's have a look at the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. 8-1 the favourite here. Dustin Johnson at the top of the betting. Jason Day is 9-1. Justin Rose is 9-1. Ricky Fowler is 16s. Harris English and Keegan Bradley, both 22s. Billy Horschel is 25-1. Brendan Steele, Justin Thomas and Sean O'Hare, all 33s. And it's 40-1 and bigger the rest. And it's TPC Louisiana that serves as host for the 9th consecutive year. A par 72 measuring 7,425 yards. And Mike, it's often one of the easiest par 72s on the schedule. The winning score has ranged from 15 under to 20 under in each of the last five seasons. So clearly making a whole host of birdies is a prerequisite here.
Yeah, definitely, Dave. It's slightly a birdie fest, isn't it, that I have to say. As I've said many times before, I'm not a massive fan of those types of events, but it's a good field on a good course, so I think you're right. It's going to be the guy who can get the most birdies will win. That tends to work a lot of weeks, to be fair. But, I think second shot course, I don't think driving accuracy is that important here, or distance even, for that matter. I think it's more about your second shots, getting it near the hole, and then shooting the lights out with your putter.
It's been something of a haven for maidens on tour, hasn't it? Mm. Last three winners, all non-PGA Tour winners before taking the Zurich Classic. And we've seen this trend take on a significance historically as well, Dave.
Yeah, definitely down the years. I think Nick Watney won his first event there, didn't he? What, a few years back? No, last year.
Yeah.
Was another one. There's certainly a few in the field this week who look in that category, a winner waiting to happen. But who's going to kick us off?
Mike,
I'll go first. I've got three picks here.
I've got just a couple of picks here.
Dave?
Yeah, two, so that makes sense. Isn't it?
Yeah, Mike, I'll go first. Right, I will go for the winner in 2013 to have his second triumph here, Billy Horschel. I think he's just coming to the boil nicely, or I thought he was at any rate. With a third in Texas about two or three tournaments ago, he missed the cut in the Masters, a very poor second round. Didn't play amazingly in the Heritage, but he's a great ball striker, Billy, and a good putter. And I just have a feeling that this, back to this New Orleans track where he has a previous win, as I've said, will do him the world of good. Let's not forget, at the back end of the 2014 season, he was fantastic in the playoffs, won the FedEx, all of that kind of stuff.
Yes.
And I've just been watching him. I think he's coming back to the boil nicely. Hoping that his putter is strong this week. His ball striking always is. And Billy Horschel is my first pick.
Billy Horschel, 25-1 for Mike. Dave?
Well, I can't really get past Dustin Johnson. I think this is an absolute wide open goal for him to bank another win.
Yep.
And we're all on him for the money list. And I did look at the first prize, 1.2 million. So this would get him to 4 million plus. It's not just wishful thinking. I think this is an easy par 72. He could demolish these par fives like he did at Augusta. I mean, who makes three eagles in one round at Augusta? Just never been done before. So he's clearly absolutely on fire. That's six at Augusta. He's never done anything like that before there. He's fresh. He's played less tournaments than everyone else because of his break. What sort of price was he going to be? You know, he was never going to be... There's never really going to be anything like 12-1 or anything bigger than that, was he? So he's 8-1. I mean, I cannot see him being out of the top five, certainly. He's 13-8 for a top five. If that's the way you like to bet, you just maybe have one bet that's fairly, you know, safe and solid.
Yeah.
I just cannot see him being out of the top five here. But you may, but I will go 8-1, though, that 8-1 on him.
You play each way as well?
On that 8-1?
Yes.
I suppose I could do. That sort of ties in the both bets then, doesn't it?
2 points winning a point place, you get your money back if he's placed, don't you?
Yeah, but I think this is such a golden opportunity for him, because Day had a strange Masters, 9-1. Rose had a very good Masters, but you know, 9-1 is short enough, isn't it? Fowler was a bit disappointing, late.
I nearly picked Rose. I think he plays well here, and he was fantastic at the Masters, where birding was key, wasn't it? He was the one of the market leaders that caught my eye, but 9-1 was just a bit short.
Yeah. I just think, well, 8-1 DJ or 9-1 Rose, I think I'd rather be on DJ just for his win rate in America.
Yeah, I think when I was looking at this market from the top of the market and that perspective, I thought Dustin Johnson was 16-1 for the Masters, he's 8-1 for this. Justin Rose was 50-1 for the Masters, he's 9-1 for this.
Yeah.
There's a bit, his price has contracted markedly. I do understand the course forms there, yeah. But
he deserved to
be second in the Masters, wasn't he? And this is a lot easier event, so he's bound to be shorter.
Yeah, he's bound to
be shorter, but it wasn't
his Masters price was too big, wasn't it? It was there because he had a funny run of form.
Yes. And
normally in the Masters, he's about 25s, isn't he?
Rose's last three finishes here have been 10th, 15th and 8th, so he likes the course. That you've got to factor that in as well, haven't you? So I just thought 9-1 was appealing. I think he was brilliant at Augusta for most years. He would have won, wouldn't he?
Yes, without doubt.
I'm almost sensing a lunch bet, Mike.
What, against Dustin Johnson? yeah, I'll have that, yeah. Well, I do think just that those two are strong. I'm not so keen on Day as the has been up there with them, to be honest. I think he played that well at Augusta for somewhere that he loves.
No, he was a very strange performance.
I think he got one of those who got down on Spieth running away with it.
But, you know, I'm happy to have a free lunch bet for sure, yeah. Yeah, I'm cool with that.
Okay, that's struck then, midway through the podcast.
Normally Dave picks them both.
Well, it's good that I'm left out this week.
Yeah.
It's good that I'm left out this week.
Yeah, both players.
I'm going for Justin as my first pick here. I'm going at Justin Thomas.
Justin Leonard.
Justin Thomas. Wow. At 33-1. He has been cut, unfortunately, from 40s. But
to what, Dave?
33. So
is that not a bit short?
Still give him a go. Yeah, it's a bit short. But I picked him this morning. I'm not going to change my mind now. So I'm going with Justin Thomas at 33s.
He's been cut to 8 now.
Yeah, if it was 8-1, I'm sure I would change my mind there. But he went to the University of Alabama, which isn't a million miles away from here at New Orleans. I expect him to be at home under these conditions as well. He appears to have the perfect skill set for a venue like this, in my opinion. He drives it long, finds plenty of greens in regulation, ranks 14th in birdie average as well, which is important. He's also 4th in par 5 scoring this season. So as you mentioned with Dustin Johnson, he's a player that can really eat up the par 5s. And he's had some very strong results on low scoring tracks so far this season already. Tied 4th at the Sanderson Farms, followed by the tie for 6th at the Sony Open early on in the year, then tied for 7th in the Humana. Did go off the boil, but finished 11th at the Heritage last week on a golf course that tends to favour more experienced players, so you could maybe upgrade that performance, albeit last week's conditions, it didn't play as fire as it usually does Harbour Town, did it? It was kind of soft and allowed some of the less experienced players to contend. In addition to that, Jordan Spieth is one of his... He roomed with Jordan Spieth last week, and he's one of his best friends on tour, so I'm sure he's...
Is he going to play for him?
I'm sure he's going... Jordan Spieth's not going to play for him, Mike, but I'm sure he's going to maybe draw on Jordan Spieth's experiences in the last few weeks on tour, and hopefully that will help him out. So I'll go with him at 33-1.
Just trying to lure you into a match bet with Billy Horschel.
Oh, I'm more than happy for that one.
We're on.
I'm more than happy for that one. I'll take Justin Thomas against Billy Horschel.
That's good.
you're gonna have to buy a buffet.
No, I'm cool. I'm not gonna have to bring
dining like a king.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I'm happy with that one.
I'm happy with both though.
Who's your second pick, Mike?
My second pick is Justin Thomas. No, it isn't. my second pick, I've got two more. Which one shall I go for first, Dave? Scott Piercy, I'll go for next. Who has a top 13 to his name about 2 years ago here. Although he has missed some cuts, so he's not watertight Piercy here, but I just think he's playing ever so well, and he is a player who can go low, who can score birdies, top 40 on tour for birdie average this season, playing ever so well, second at Sony, top 10 last time out. I just think that Piercy is a winner in waiting, and the 50-1 was appealing enough to drag me in. He will give us a good run for our money if he continues his form of this year.
Okay, Scott Piercy in the market at 50-1. Dave?
Yeah, for my second and final pick, I was close between two guys who ticked that box of great chance for the maiden to win, Morgan Hoffman and Troy Merritt. We obviously saw them up there last week. Now, Hoffman is 40s when I'd play him at 50s, 40s, I think is too tight. Whereas Merritt, double those odds. So I think both of them have got not exactly a similar case, but similar-ish in certain aspects. So I'll go with obviously the double the odds at 80-1 merit. It's just that I think obviously we know he led by 3 shots last week and he didn't win, and you could say, oh well, you know, like, he'd be in a big mood and everything, but you read his comments afterwards, and rather than thinking that that's one that got away, it just seemed like, what a great week I had. You know, he really thought, you know, it was all positive, really, all money in the bank, literally money in the bank. And just, it was a surprise to me because he's got some past course form from like ages, well, 2010. And in going into that event, he'd missed 7 cuts. So he just had a string of MCs, then suddenly came third here out of nowhere, and then, then went back to MCs again.
I'm with you, David. Merit was on my mind as well. 80 is a decent price. Yeah. And equally, so was Morgan Hoffman, but 40s is most definitely not a decent price.
Yeah.
So
Hoffman, he was fourth at halfway on his debut here, so he's got the course form to some extent, and he came second in that. The web.com has a Louisiana Open. Hoffman was second in that once, two years ago. Mm. But the merit it is because, he, as well as that third last week, he was sixth in the Valspar just a few weeks before that. So
it's a fair call.
It's not, you know, whereas in 2010 it was a one-off. This year he seems to have, you know, proper a sixth and a third in within the space of 4 or 5 events. It's pretty impressive.
It's going the
stuff,
right way, isn't it?
Yeah, so 80-1. Hoffman, if Hoffman wins, I'll slightly kick myself, but talking now, the price is 40-1 or 80-1 on similar, you know, credentials. The 80-1 merit I think is fine.
I'm going for a guy like you, Dave, that was up there last week, has been cut from 80s into 66, Kevin Kisner. I'm going for last week's runner-up. I just thought he played so well last week that I want him on side this week. He has held his form week to week on the web.com tour before, however he has flopped as well when he's put in big performances, so that's not a foolproof theory that's in play. But I thought it was incredible last week in front of his home fans. Never put a foot wrong, and maybe feel slightly aggrieved that Fioric played so well on the Sunday to shoot a 63 and catch up and then birdie the first two holes in the playoff as well.
What did Kisner shoot, 64?
Yeah, he hit every shot required. I thought it was sensational. To go 11 under, bogey free over the weekend on that golf course, I thought was fantastic. He ranked number one in strokes gained tee to green last week as well. And he's played here a few times, so he's got a bit of experience. Did miss the cut on his first couple of starts at the venue, but then finished an encouraging 34th here last year, where he closed with a very disappointing 76, but he was pretty decent first three rounds. So I'm going with Kevin Kisner to continue this week where he left off last week, and I thought he was fair at 66.
I think if you look at some of the past winners here, the course form is pretty terrible. I think current form is a better guide to this week than course form.
Yeah, been a lot of big prize winners, which suggests that, doesn't it?
Yeah, since they had nothing, they weren't having, you know, 20, 30 points shaved off just because they'd come 15th here before or something.
So St. Johnson ever played here, by the way?
He's played once. He missed the cut, didn't he, back in 2008?
Is that why you're saying that? he's reverse engineering his argument to just
7 years ago. I'm prepared to ignore that. But it did sort of help when I think Noah had missed the cut the year before or something, but it did just seem one of those courses you don't have to.
No.
I think the reason there's so many maiden winners here is lack of strength and depth in the field historically. Even though it's a stronger field than usual here at this venue, it comes just at that sort of time where maybe players...
Postmasters,
gearing up for big events to come. We've got the players coming up and the match play and so on and so forth.
And also, Birdie Fest tend to level the playing field a bit, don't they? I think. So I'm not that keen on them. Having said that, maybe 3 bets this week. That's a bit counterintuitive. The third pick for me is someone who has played well here once before. Luke Guthrie was 8th here in 2013. Missed the cut last year, so I'm hoping he can do a bit better than that. But he's been shaping up quite nicely of late, I think. 7th in the Valspar and 17th in the Houston Open. Did miss the cut in the Heritage, but was only one over, so it wasn't a horrendous performance by any means. A player who I think has got a lot of ability, and it's a little bit of a speculative bet at 125-1. I think he's I think he's someone who can contend in events, and I'm hoping that he shows the form of that top 10 in 2013 again here. Does need to hit more greens in regulation than he has been doing this calendar season, the 2014-15 season, where his number on that stat has not been very encouraging. But as I said, there's been some interesting signs of late for him. That Valspar performance in particular was very interesting. So I'm going to give Luke Guthrie a bit of a shout, see whether he can build on that debut eighth here.
Okay, Luke Guthrie, Mike's final pick, big price as well, 125-1. Who came closest, Dave, for you?
Well, just to... Is this the same question as who? A big outsider? Or is that
give us a big outsider.
Two big outsiders who I thought about. One that I know you've mentioned before, just on that idea that he's a young guy, Tony Finau.
Yeah.
Just, you know, you could have a few throws at 150s, couldn't you? You might strike on one of them. Just looks, it's a par 72, four par fives to go at.
Yes.
Kind of course he might like. Good for first-time winners. And then kind of the opposite end of the age scale, Mr. New Orleans himself, David Toms, who's always the local guy, isn't it?
Mm.
And, yeah, in theory, maybe the course doesn't quite suit him, but he's had enough good rounds there. And
yes.
He does still pop up every so often, so he's just got a massive local knowledge advantage over everyone in the field. So he's 150, so you could have a little whirl at that, couldn't you? No damage done, really.
He might be looking at Jim Fiorek and thinking, if he can do it.
If he can do it, I can.
I can do it as well.
Cameron Tringale?
Yes.
I feel like renaming him Tringale.
Tringale now,
yeah. Now, like Grillo. he showed quite nicely at the Masters and didn't play too badly the other week, did he? I'm just looking at his form figures.
He's got some seventh, good recent
seventh,
form.
Well, he's got three top 20s here in his last four outings, so he actually did miss the cut of the weekend. I apologise, he missed the cut. But he's someone who could run well, but 40-1 didn't massively appeal. At a massive price, Lucas Glover always plays well here. I don't know what he is. I didn't actually even check his price. Just not putting well enough.
100-1. I think I agree with you. He's such a good ball striker. From tee to green, he might be brilliant, but you do need to make some putts.
Yeah, you do.
And I'm not convinced. I think he's looked so shaky over the short ones, as I mentioned a few weeks ago. What? Just one guy I want to mention.
Wouldn't surprise me if he finishes top 10.
I like that. Alex Checker at a really big price at 100-1.
He's playing well, isn't he?
He's winning on tour this season, admittedly, only in
Puerto
Rico.
He's a better 100-1 chance than Glover, to be fair.
Yeah, I think so as well. I like Alex Checker. Who's the player you don't want to win? Who came the closest to making the cut?
Justin Rose was very close for me, yeah. But I just thought, is Horschel three times less likely to win, and I had to go with Horschel.
I'd have to stick up Russell Knox as
I thought you might pick him,
he was a little bit... I thought last week's course suited him better than this week's course. He was the same price last week as this week, and so disappointing to see him shoot that that opening round 75 and blow himself out of contention, really.
Well,
and
he won the lunch bet.
He did win the lunch bet, so I can't be that annoyed with him.
He's a bandit on those.
Same as he said.
I was trying to taunt him into Justin Thomas against Horschel, and it worked. I'll have to bear that in mind.
It has worked. Yeah. It has worked.
I just was scratching.
They definitely baited me in there. Definitely. Yeah.
I've got. I like my odds.
When he mentioned
that's the way to do it, Dave. Dave T.
Yeah. Well, I think you need to go against someone you actively think won't do as well as. Well, when you put up Knox last week, I was thinking, well, I totally agree with you. I think he will play well, but I just fancy Stroman to play a bit better. Maybe wait until I think someone won't play.
It's a bit more
well.
Volatile, yeah.
Well, we've got lunch bets. Before we recap, let's recap the lunch bets.
Aren't you two having a lunch bet?
We've got them all over the place, haven't we? I've got Justin Thomas against Billy Horschel with you.
Go on, Billy. Go on,
Mike,
the horse.
You've got... what was your lunch bet again?
Yeah, Rose against Justin Johnson.
You've got Rose against Dustin Johnson with Dave T.
Have we got any in the same price?
I don't know if we have, actually. Who did... Let's recap the picks and then see if we've got anyone. Dave?
So for me, Dustin Johnson... I will go each way at 8-1 because I think you'll get something on that bet. You know, I can see him definite top five and good chance to win. What, 2.5 points each way, I guess?
Oh, that's bullish. Yep.
And then my other one is Troy Merritt. I'll go a point each way at 80s.
Okay, we'll do New Orleans. I'm going a point each way. Justin Thomas, 33s. Point each way, Kevin Kisner at 66.
Kisner and Merritt, just a thought.
Kisner and Merritt?
For you guys?
Yeah, that's all, because they both were good last week, weren't they? So that's fairly balanced enough, isn't it?
I will go, I don't know, what do I mean? Or points, yes, I will have what I'll have. It'd help if I remember who I'd picked. Billy Horschel, I'll go a point each way to all of them, actually. Billy Horschel at 25, Scott Pearcey at 50s, and Luke Guthrie at 125.
And in China, a couple of picks for me. 1 point each way, David Howell at 40-1, and just a half a point each way on Paul Laurie, and hopefully he can stay upright throughout the week.
Yeah.
He's 80-1, Paul Laurie. Dave?
Yeah, I'll have a point each way on Chris Wood, who would be my nap in that tournament, and then Tommy Fleetwood, point each way at 20s.
You needed an 80-1 shot in that, Dave, to go up against the injured golf.
The injured
with the withdrawal.
Yeah, what a chance.
Beware the injured golfer. Hopefully he'll be fit this week. Thank you for listening to the podcast, folks. Remember, you can follow myself, Mike, and Dave on Twitter, at D. Kellner, at M. Grenham, at Dave Tyndall Golf. You can download this podcast via iTunes by typing in William Hill. And, of course, you can listen via our audioboom.com page as well. Again, just type in William Hill. Thank you for listening to the Golf Podcast. Myself, Dave, and Mike will be back next week for more golfing action. Best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.